Tonight, gunned down in grade school, a murderous rampage in Nashville. The devastating aftermath of another U.S. mass shooting.
There were so many police cars, and then the ambulances started coming away.
As new details emerge about the victims and the suspect.
We have a manifesto, we have some writings that we're going over.
The climbing cost of groceries and government rebates on the menu.
Well, that would be good for everybody.
The plan for a one-time payment, but is it enough?
You know, they're always promising something.
Plus, going the distance.
You can do anything. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how out of shape you are.
An inspiring marathon of motivation.
CTV National News with Omar Sachedina.
Good evening, everyone. No parent expects a school to be the target of a violent shooting. And tonight, the United States has once again been plunged into mourning after what's become a terrifyingly familiar scene.
Something's got to be done. This is 3 people lost their children today. It's hard to imagine.
Those children were just 9 years old. 3 staff members were also killed. Students walking hand in hand after bullets flew from their Christian elementary school in Nashville. Police say the shooter, a 28-year-old transgender woman, parked this Honda, entered the building, and also fired at police vehicles from a second-story window, armed with these 3 guns and what they say was, quote, significant ammunition before she was killed by police. CTV's Richard Madden starts us off.
Just after 10 this morning, Nashville police racing to 911 calls of an active shooter at a small Christian elementary school.
There were so many police cars, and then the ambulances started coming away from the school. And that's when I had heard it was a school shooting.
Inside, police say officers confronted a former student armed with 2 assault weapons and a handgun in the midst of a shooting spree.
She entered on the lower floor. There were shots fired on the lower floor before she went to the upper level, and it was on the upper level where she was confronted by police and killed.
Among the victims, 2 9-year-old students, one just about to turn 9, along with the head of the school, a substitute teacher, and the custodian. Survivors held hands fleeing the school to anxious parents waiting at a nearby recovery center. Avery Merrick's mother was teaching inside when the shooter opened fire.
She was hiding in the closet and that there was shooting all over and that they had potentially tried to get into her room.
Police say 28-year-old suspect Audrey Hale, who lived in the area, identified as transgender and left disturbing clues investigators call a targeted attack.
We have a manifesto, we have some writings that we're going over that pertain to this day. We have a map drawn out of how this was all going to take place.
Another day of tragedy, heartbreak, and senseless violence in America.
Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them?
President Joe Biden consoling the nation and urging Congress to pass his assault weapons ban.
We have to do more to stop gun violence. It's ripping our communities apart.
And tonight, federal officials say the FBI has joined the investigation. Nashville police, meantime, confirm the suspect bought their weapons legally in a state where gun owners don't need a permit to carry them in public. Omar.
All right, Richard, thank you. And late tonight, Nashville police released security camera video of how the incident started. First, the shooter fired on the doors and entered the building. Then Audrey Hale can be seen walking around armed with 2 assault-type guns and a 9-millimeter pistol. Thousands of family, friends, and first responders gathered in Edmonton today for the funeral of 2 police officers killed in the line of duty. The caskets of Constables Travis Jordan and Brett Ryan were carried into the Edmonton Oilers hockey arena just 11 days after the pair were gunned down while responding to a family dispute.
My sweet husband, we thought we had eternity ahead of us. The 10 years we had together will have to suffice, but the everlasting love I have for you and for us is evermore.
In a massive show of support, thousands of people lined city streets to say goodbye to the fallen officers. Two indigenous women who spent 30 years behind bars for a murder someone else confessed to have been released on bail today.
Right now, I'm just overwhelmed, and I just want to go be with my family. Thank you. I'm in shock, like no emotions, but I always knew in my heart we'll be free.
Nerissa Cusance and her sister Odelia were convicted of Anthony Joseph Dolph's murder in 1994. The sisters have always maintained their innocence, and the Justice Department ordered a review of their convictions last year. The person who did confess to the killing was a youth at the time. The case will now be subject to a ministerial review. The finance minister will reveal the government's economic plans tomorrow when she releases the federal budget. CTV's Ottawa Bureau Chief Joyce Napier with a preview of the measures, including an attempt to help with the rising cost of living.
Chrystia Freeland following a tradition for finance ministers.
What do we have here?
Buying new shoes this year, black pumps, on sale, ahead of a budget where the high cost of living will be a key issue. CTV News confirming it will include a one-time grocery rebate for lower-income Canadians. The rebate would target about 11 million people for an estimated cost of $2.5 billion. Eligible couples with two children will receive a one payment of up to $467. A single person would receive $234 and a senior $225.
$400 for a family won't even cover half of a month of grocery bills right now.
And that means more people are turning to a food bank. Ottawa has seen a 30% increase in visits over the last year as food prices rose to over 10%, twice the rate of inflation.
We are at a crisis point. We cannot keep this up.
The NDP has been pushing for high cost of living measures in the budget.
The grocery rebate is exactly what we've been fighting for.
The Liberals have said those measures have to be targeted and temporary as more government spending could fuel inflation.
That's why people are paying more than at any time in 40 years. Will he cap government spending and put an end to the inflationary deficits tomorrow?
So we're bringing forward a budget that is focused on affordability and supporting Canadians.
Ottawa will also offer a 30% tax credit for the manufacturing sector for clean tech investments to compete with the U.S., which offers tens of billions of dollars in incentives to businesses south of the border. Some economists suggesting a surtax on oil and gas companies to offset the estimated $3 billion cost.
One of the big drivers of inflation in Canada has been huge record profits in oil and gas extraction as well as refining.
The finance minister said Canadians should expect fiscal restraint in tomorrow's budget after the massive spending to respond to the pandemic. But with business incentives, cost of living measures, and health care transfers alone, restraint may be harder to achieve. Omar?
Okay, we will see how the math adds up tomorrow. Joyce, you've also been tracking developments on the case of Han Dong, the former Liberal, now independent MP, who issued a new statement today. What did he say?
Well, Omar, Han Dong quit the Liberal caucus last week, as you know, to clear his name, he said, after a report emerged that he allegedly spoke to a Chinese diplomat at the consulate 2 years ago about delaying the release of Michael Spavor and Michael Kovrig. The two Michaels were detained in China at the time. And today in a statement, Han Dong, who is a Toronto area MP, said he took every available opportunity to advocate on behalf of the two Michaels and call for their immediate release. In that statement, he says he is taking legal action against Global News that produced and published the report and its parent company, Corus Entertainment, adding, I can look at myself in the mirror and know with full certainty that I have the truth on my side. My anonymous false accusers cannot say the same. And Omar, this is a story we will continue to follow closely.
All right, Joyce, thank you. You'll be tracking that story and, of course, tomorrow's budget, as we mentioned. And reminder, CTV News will have full coverage of that. Our live special begins at 4 p.m. Eastern on the CTV main network, CTV News channel, and online at ctvnews.ca. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is delaying controversial judicial reforms after thousands of protesters accused him of trying to maintain his grip on power as he faces corruption charges. But the delay doesn't mean he will scrap the changes completely. CTV's Sandy Bernaldo is in Jerusalem. Sandy, what is the feeling there tonight?
Omar, despite the capitulation on the timing of the judicial overhaul, Israel tonight is still a country in crisis.
Hundreds of thousands of Israelis from almost all segments of society gathered in the streets over what they see as a threat to democracy. Joined by the country's largest labor union, shops, banks, some hospital services, and even the airport came to a halt.
We will continue to fight until this madness is stopped.
For weeks, protesters have been raising their voices. But overnight, the situation grew larger and more tense. After Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu fired his defense minister for criticizing the wide-reaching judicial reforms that would give more power to religious courts and allow a simple majority in the Knesset to overturn Supreme Court rulings.
We can't afford the disunity. We can't afford to be seen as a rogue state. Israel needs to be seen as a democracy.
Today, Netanyahu, who is currently on trial for corruption, gave in to some of that pressure, announcing he will delay the bill's second and third reading to avoid a rift within the people and give time to get a broad consensus. But with strong opposition in the public and the parliament, that may not be possible. Netanyahu's opponents say the reforms are a blatant attempt to undermine a critical check on his right-wing government.
But as long as they keep even halting this legislation, we will keep protesting and opposing it in any possible way.
And today, those in support of Netanyahu started their own counter-protests.
It's not okay. They started a process and they need to complete it.
Now, that national strike was supposed to stretch into tomorrow. It has now been called off. For protesters here, they say the delay on the final vote doesn't go far enough. They're vowing to keep up the pressure until Netanyahu scraps the judicial overhaul altogether. Omar?
All right, Sandy, thank you. Stay safe. A legal battle with the British tabloids brought Prince Harry to London today for a surprise court appearance.
Hi, guys.
The Duke of Sussex was joined by Elton John and other celebrities who are suing newspapers for allegedly tapping their phones. Arguments will last for 4 days, and then a judge will decide if the case should proceed. An early morning blast rocked a quiet residential area in Calgary today, sending 10 people to hospital, some with life-threatening injuries. As CTV's Kevin Green shows us, the catastrophic explosion was caught on a security camera.
The explosion on Merivale Way Northeast and Fireball could be seen from kilometers away. Closer by, residents shaken from their homes ran to see what was happening and to offer help.
There's three guys lying in the road, burnt. So we ran out, we covered them with blankets, and they were just, it was awful.
As residents helped the first three victims, more started trying to escape the twisted, now burning ruins.
Crying and screaming, and then we noticed more cries, so there was two gentlemen that were crawling. It looked like it would have been the basement, trying to crawl out of the basement.
The fire grew quickly, spreading to neighboring homes.
And then the house caught on fire beside the house that blew up. And there was a lady who was stuck in there. And then so we were trying to break the window of that house because she couldn't get the door open.
Fire crews felt the blast over a kilometer away at their hall in Forest Heights. There were even more residents struggling to escape when they arrived on scene.
There was one patient hanging from the window of the source house when we arrived.
In total, EMS took 10 people to hospital.
I can confirm that there were no children involved. All were adults. Unfortunately, they don't have demographics, i.e. Gender or ages. However, six of the 10 were considered in life-threatening condition once they were triaged at the scene here.
Debris from the blast covers an area several blocks in diameter. A mattress sits atop a neighboring house. In total, 11 homes were damaged, including the one that exploded, the two adjacent homes that caught fire, and eight more damaged by the force of the blast and the resulting shrapnel and debris.
It's horrific, right? Thinking about what that was like for the residents of the home and surrounding homes in this community. Terrible event, and it's shocking.
Arson investigators and the police crime scene unit are on scene to investigate the cause of the blast, but have to wait until it is safe to access the basement of the house, which blew up, to get a better look. Kevin Green, CTV News, Calgary.
Coming up, key testimony at a high-profile legal showdown.
Never been hit that hard, and I'm flying.
The accuser in the Gwyneth Paltrow ski crash trial takes the stand, plus surviving a shocking flip on a Los Angeles freeway. Mm-hmm. A historic political victory in Scotland will see Hamza Yousaf become the first person of color and first Muslim to lead the nation.
Today, we have sent a clear message that your color of skin, or indeed your faith, is not a barrier to leading the country that we all call home.
The 37-year-old is the son of South Asian immigrants and was elected leader of the ruling Scottish National Party. He will be confirmed as Scotland's first minister tomorrow and has promised to fast-track the fight for independence from the United Kingdom. A jury in Utah heard today from the man who says actress Gwyneth Paltrow crashed into him on a ski slope 7 years ago. Here's CTV's Vanessa Lee.
Thank you. Retired optometrist Terry Sanderson claims Gwyneth Paltrow rammed into him from behind in a crash that broke four ribs and left him with a permanent brain injury.
Serious smack. Never been hit that hard, and I'm flying. I'm absolutely flying.
The 76-year-old says he was having an easy day on the slopes until he heard what he called a blood-curdling scream.
It was, and then... boom. And it was like somebody was out of control.
This high-profile trial hinges on who crashed into who. Paltrow insists Sanderson smashed into her.
I said, "You skied directly into my effing back." And he said, "Oh, sorry, I'm sorry."
Beyond questions of skiing etiquette, Paltrow's lawyers are accusing Sanderson of suing in an attempt to exploit Paltrow's wealth and celebrity. They grilled him on an email he sent hours after the crash, in which he told his daughters, "I'm famous."
Why did you write, "I'm famous"?
You know, again, my head was scrambled. All I was trying to do is desperately communicate with my kids before they heard from somebody else I got crushed. So I didn't pick my words well. I'm their protector.
Sanderson broke down as he spoke about how the accident has strained family relationships and how he isn't the same person anymore.
Paltrow's husband and children, who are vacationing with her at the ski resort, are also expected to testify this week. Vanessa Lee, CTV News, Montreal.
Still ahead. A new danger to an endangered species. There's a dramatic moment on an L.A. freeway we want to show you, and before we do, just know that everyone, remarkably, is okay. Keep an eye on the white pickup to the right. Everything seems okay until the driver's side front wheel pops off right in the path of the SUV, catapulting the black car into the air. Moments later, the tire collides right into the back of the car. Again, no serious injuries. Incredible. British Columbia's majestic orcas, already endangered, are facing a new challenge to their survival. BC Bureau Chief Melanie Nagy on the clues in their DNA.
Orcas, a symbol of power and strength, have long been revered on the West Coast. But in the waters off BC's southern shores, the species is endangered. They're suffering from pollution, starvation, habitat loss, and also reduced genetic diversity.
We were able to sequence the whole genome.
Kim Parsons is a geneticist who co-authored a recent study analyzing DNA from a unique orca population commonly called southern residents.
And we looked at the level of inbreeding in the population.
With fewer than 100 in the group, mating options are limited. Parsons says that makes them genetically isolated, increasing their vulnerability.
This is manifesting in a shortened lifespan for individuals, particularly for some of the females.
It can take years for female orcas to become sexually mature. Southern residents may not be living long enough to give birth, which stunts population growth.
Inbreeding makes these individuals more vulnerable to disease affecting their immune system.
While the study may paint a bleak picture, scientists say it also provides an opportunity to improve conservation efforts.
Those include restricting fishing, slowing down boats to reduce noise.
Lance Barrett Leonard studies orcas, including their DNA.
This whole population has hung on in the face of pollution and overfishing and disturbance.
He says a top focus should be saving the southern residents' dwindling food source, which is predominantly salmon.
Knowing that inbreeding is one of the things affecting it, really should just be a call for us to redouble our efforts.
Only 73 southern residents remain. In addition to doing more to protect them, researchers say action must be urgent in order to stop them from plummeting towards extinction. Melanie Nagy, CTV News, Vancouver.
After the break, the senior who won't stop. Sometimes the key to life is to keep going and keep moving, and no one knows that more than Mary Lawler. At 71, she's relying on her spirit and her stamina, which are serving as sources of inspiration to others. Here's Adrian Gobriel.
Through rain, sleet, and snow, Mary Lawler is her own force of nature.
I ran in 30 below.
When you sit down with a 71-year-old, it quickly becomes apparent there's something about Mary.
If you want to challenge yourself, maybe don't pick running 3 years in a row.
Each day for the last 3 years, Lawler has laced up her shoes and put one foot in front of the other.
1,095. That's a lot of days. And I don't have the nicest looking feet.
It all began in March of 2020, when, as it did for many Canadians, the pandemic put the brakes on life.
The gyms were closed. Everything was closed. The sidewalk was open.
Mary, before this, had you ever been a runner?
No. I've never ran before, never. I went to the gym, got on the treadmill, and watched TV. I started out 5 or 6 kilometers a day, and then I worked up to 13.
As the senior citizen got a running leg, she began taking the heel-toe express into work at Toronto General Hospital's respiratory clinic.
I thought to myself, imagine not being able to breathe. Imagine getting COVID and dying, and nobody could come in and see me.
Soon, her runs took on a higher purpose, with each step dedicated to the healthcare workers and patients grounded under the weight of COVID-19.
I'm thinking I can breathe, and they can't.
Everybody who's worked with her knows that she's got a huge heart.
Lawler's former boss, Dr. John Granton, is one of many who've marveled at Mary.
She's going to start taking up ping pong. I don't know what it's going to be next, but it's going to be some marathon of something or other.
What is running for 3 years straight taught you about yourself?
You can do anything. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how out of shape you are.
Moving forward, Lawler says she's simply going to run to challenge herself without the pressure of traversing multiple kilometers each day.
What's Mary Lawler going to do tomorrow?
I'm going to run, and I probably will run every day.
Adrian Gobriel, CTV News, Toronto.
And that is a snapshot of this Monday for all of us at CTV National News. Thank you for watching, and see you tomorrow.
5 crucial questions to expose the truth. Who's at risk? What needs to change? When will justice be done?
There was actually a plot to kill you.
Where's the proof? Why did this happen? Watch W5 Saturdays at 7 on CTV.